happy Wednesday. We got such a positive response from last week's episode all about setting healthy boundaries in relationships. So I just wanted to thank you guys for reaching out and letting me know what you thought via Instagram. And I would love if you have a moment, if you could leave a rating and review for our podcast. That is life for us in the podcast world. So I would so appreciate if you could do that. But I am so excited for today's episode because today I chat with Nadine from Vienna, who wants help making new friends as an adult, which, as we all know, can be a struggle, especially when we're dealing with different work schedules, partners and families, and just life. It can be so hard to establish meaningful connections with people beyond just, you know, shallow acquaintances and really build your girl gang. I bring in community building expert Sophia Parsa to help Nadine and all of us grow our support groups and make new friends as adults. Creating a new social group when you have so many other things going on may seem too much to handle, but when you work on cultivating the right community, you live better and you live happier.
When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is too much to handle.
So I am so excited to welcome Too Much to Handle listener Nadine to the show. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you for coming. I so appreciate your support and appreciate you listening to the podcast, and I appreciate you reaching out.
Thank you so much. I mean, I was always, I've always been a fan of your podcast, so I was very excited to do that.
Oh, that's so sweet. I am so excited to have you on, and I think you have a question today that is going to resonate with a lot of people. So you actually sent me a DM and you asked me about building a community when you're an adult. You said, there's something that's actually a real struggle for me, mainly making new friends when you're over 30 or more generally out of college or university. I find it really hard to develop deep connections with new people that turn into real friendships and don't just stay shallow acquaintances. It's not as easy as it used to be as a teenager or a young adult when you have so much time to just hang out with friends. Also, with starting a family versus staying solo or without kids, our lives change in so many different ways that it's sometimes hard to keep friendships going when you're moving in different directions. So first up, I feel ya. And I know so many listeners do. Because it's not the same when you're in a college setting or a school setting when you're around people your age who are looking to make friends all the time.
Exactly, yes.
So you are definitely not alone. In fact, 45% of adults say they find it difficult to make friends. And that same 45% said they would go out of their way to make new friends if they knew how or had more opportunities. So it kind of sounds like you're in that category. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. So that totally resonates with me. And yes, it is much harder now that we're working. And as you said, you don't have time that you used to have when you were at school or in college, where you're just surrounded by people who are the same age and who also try to make new friends. And you just have the same problems every day, like you struggle with, I don't know, with teachers and you struggle growing up, and then you just have the same basis where you can connect. And it's just more difficult when you're in the adult life, working life. And yes.
Interesting. So that's a really interesting reflection that I hadn't really thought of going into this, because when you're in college, not only are you around people your age at the same time, like you're all having the same experience at the same time. So you already have that shared experience to sort of build relationships off of.
Yes, exactly. You have the same struggles. You have the same, yes, like you also have the same daily routines mostly because you just, I mean, we all know college life, university life, you have your courses and then, yeah, you just, I don't know, party or you study a bit, but it's mainly the same for all students, I guess. Yeah. And you have more free time. Let's face Absolutely. It, it's just, it's true. You have more, more time, more free time than you will ever have again later in life.
Oh, and, I know.
and I think many of us don't realize that when we're in college or at university, because we think, it's going to be like this forever and it's so nice and everything. But as soon as you start your regular working life, it's just different. And your life changes and yeah, you start to develop in different directions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're spot on there. I want to ask you a few questions really quick. Mm-hmm. So where are you located currently? Where do you live currently?
I live in Vienna, Austria.
Okay.
So I'm in Europe and I'm currently working as a teacher and afternoon supervisor. So I work with teenagers the whole day.
So yeah, you're not really in an office environment around people your age.
No, which, not at all. Yeah. So I work with teenagers and of course I meet my fellow teachers and my colleagues, but it's not like a, like you said, an office environment.
Right. And what does your sort of current social situation look like? How do you see your friends and when do you see your mm-hmm. friends?
Well, most of my friends that I have from early childhood or from high school, it just developed sort of very irregular. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I have friends that I only meet every other month because there's just not enough time with our different schedules. And so there is no like weekly meetup with friends like we used to have when we were back at school or at university. So it's much more difficult to actually make the time to find the time where everyone, has enough time and can make it. And so, of course, I also have some colleagues that I meet mm-hmm. after work. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same as other friendships that I have from my early 20s.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a lot of things going on. And I think a lot of people are probably sort of nodding their heads along as they listen to this. Sounds like you don't have enough time. You're not around people who maybe you're connecting with or for you, people your age. You know, building that sort of real and quality friendships. Now, I have some tips and tools that I want to help you out with that I've used in my own life, but I am not the expert at this. I do want to bring in an expert. So I'm going to bring in Sophia Parsa, who is head of community at FabFitFun. She's also the curator and co-founder of a group called Mountain Gate, which is a community that catalyzes life-changing discussions and collaborations for young revolutionary leaders across all spheres. Mountain Gate hosts an invite-only and private monthly 100-person speaker dinner series, and they have grown to 7,000 members in Los Angeles. So this year alone, Mountain Gate is expected to expand into San Francisco, New York City, and Seattle. So to say that Sophia is an expert in community building is basically an understatement. And I know Sophia personally, and I think everybody in LA can say the exact same because she knows everybody. She has built so many relationships and knows everyone. So I want to introduce you to our expert today, Sophia. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. I would love you to tell Nadine and our listeners a little bit about your story so that they can sort of like understand you and what you do a bit better and maybe sort of the impetus for starting Mountain Gate and starting that community building group.
Sure. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible because as you know, as a friend of mine, it's been ups and downs and started off my career as an entrepreneur with my dad on a business we started together. Later realized I wanted to do something on my own. Fell into the tutoring space, built an app called Toot, went off and raised like institutional funding from one of the largest education firms, I should say. And then from there, fell into this moment where I realized that I needed to pivot my business. And I didn't have the right people around me who could help me go face those challenges. And I wanted to have more like weekly opportunities or monthly opportunities where I can connect with people who are going through the same thing that I was. It's a really scary thing when you take people's money and now you're like, ah, it's not working. I need to figure this out. I need to change what we're doing. So from there, I hosted a dinner in my backyard with a friend, and we both decided we were going to invite about 10 of the most interesting people we knew. That ended up becoming Mountain Gate. So 20 people were invited, about 60 people showed up, and I realized, oh, there's a real need in LA to connect with like-minded people. And to save it from becoming like a networking event, I decided I wanted to make it educational as well, as that was my background, and to bring experts in to speak about a topic that they are an expert in. And hopefully people can leave not only making connections with potential new friends, but also learn something new. Through that, I realized that, wow, I actually have a knack. I have a gift of bringing people together, and I want to explore this more. I decided last January that I was going to step down from my business in order to pursue a career in community building. Took 4 months off. I was trying to discover what that would look like, and eventually found the opportunity at FabFitFun to lead community there. And we have about close to 2 million members, won't say the exact number. I'm responsible for their experience digitally as well as in person when it comes to meetups. So lots of really cool initiatives that I'm working on with, and it's the first time that I get to do what I love for others outside of my own organization. Through Mountain Gate, another thing that I do is I angel invest in startups. Of course, naturally, because of the people who are coming to my dinners, I was able to meet some incredible founders. And lastly, this year, I joined the Forbes Under 30 board to help curate community in Los Angeles as well. So that's me.
So a lot of community building there. Clearly she is the expert in this. And it sounds like, going back into Sophia's story, that she started Mountain Gate because she had a very similar sort of desire as you did, Nadine. She yes. felt like the people around her, you know, weren't experiencing the same things. And she wanted to build that sort of environment where she could meet these people and create a shared experience almost. She's manufacturing that shared experience. So I'm kind of curious from Sophine, why do you think it is so difficult to connect as adults, Sophia? Like, what is the reasoning? Is it because we're so busy, or why can't we create? Because I remember going to camp and you meet your best friend for life in 20 yeah. seconds. You know, it's not the same now.
So I think it's the word adult, right? Like, we have so many responsibilities. When we got to live at home or, had opportunities with high school to get together around dances and things like that. I mean, there were so many organized events in high school and college that gave us the opportunity to connect and build lifelong friendships. But it's very hard, especially when, you know, what I've noticed with Mountain Gate, a lot of our members are actually transplants. They're moving to LA. And they're coming here for the first time. They have no sense of community, no family, no support, and they're just looking for something to hold on to. And actually, the most successful thing about Mountain Gate so far, as I've talked to my friends who keep coming back, has been I've met my best friend at Mountain Gate. It's no longer about making business connections and, you know, learning something new, but really meeting people. So that's something that I find really fascinating. The most difficult part, I think, for us as adults is we have to make the effort to find that community. For what does that define it really? What does that mean for us? And then go find it. And it's no longer, well, hey, by the way, like, there's a dance going on, or there's a football game going on, or a sorority opportunity. So it's really up to us to decide what kind of community do we want, and where can we find it? That's the most difficult part, I think.
So let me turn that question to Nadine. What kind of community do you want?
Oh, that's actually a good question. I was thinking about it too. And I felt that I was just missing a sort of a girl gang kind of thing. Like, yeah. you know, where you have the same interests and, I don't know, you just hang out, have a couple drinks, and then, like, I don't know, just have fun and support each other and lift each other up. Like, that would be my thing. And this is something that I never really had. And I kind of miss it.
So yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I think like you can, our listeners can't see, but you can see both me and Sophia sort of nodding our heads, because I think it's a desire that so many of us have, because we know the power, we know the importance of female friendship, right?
Yes.
Unparalleled to any other sort of bond that you could have. So Sophia, I guess when you meet somebody, let's say you meet somebody who you see and she's a girl and you're like, hey, like maybe she could be in my girl gang. Yeah. How do you approach that? How do you go about that? You're like, hey, like, I like you. Can we have a girl date? How can our listeners and how can Nadine sort of approach that?
I think your girl gang, I love that answer. It's the most important thing. I think for from a perspective of like community and support, it sort of starts there. Mm-hmm. As I was listening and nodding and sort of smiling, I was thinking about my personal girl gang. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I only met them the last 2 years. So I don't think, you know, I mean, I have my longtime girlfriends who I grew up with. They're my sisters. This is a separate conversation from those people, right?
But totally.
I mean, like my girl gang, the people that I get together maybe weekly, I've only met in the last 2 years. The way that we all got connected was through the industry, through the tech industry. We met at various events. People would say, hey, you know, you should know each other. You guys are very similar. And actually, one of my best girlfriends, I blew off maybe 2 or 3 times because I was at events and she came up to me and I was in the middle of organizing. And I was like, ah, not now, you know, and I just didn't get to connect with her. She is by far like one of my closest friends today, and we laugh about it now, but we get together as often as we can. We used to do it weekly. Work has gotten in the way, but we do wine nights together. The thing that connected us all the most was our ability to just get really vulnerable with each other. Mm. We were all, again, founders, and I know this isn't maybe like relevant to your story, but I'm going to start thinking about ways that for you, you know, what does that mean? We were all founders going through the same problems, again, similar to Mountain Gate, except we were all girls. And we met through mutual friends. So there was trust, right? Mm-hmm. So I think meeting someone through someone who already knows you is really interesting, because people pay attention more, right? They're like, oh, this introduction has come from someone that I trust, and therefore I should probably spend time with this person and not just dismiss them. So that's number one, I think, introduction through trust. Mm-hmm. And number two is the ability to get vulnerable. Mm-hmm. A lot of my girlfriends were also going through some personal things that they very soon in our relationship opened up about. And, you know, it's so funny. We all have similar problems and everyone has issues, but they don't want to open up about it. And they don't want to talk about it because we try to suppress it and pretend like it doesn't exist. But I've found in my closest relationships that actually talking about my problems and being really real about who I am and how I'm feeling has brought me some of the closest friendships.
And then I just want to give like all of these snaps to that. I really do, because I think it's so, so true. And again, like I'm just nodding my head, you know, just incessantly, because I do think you're so right that that's how relationships start, is with that vulnerability point. I have a girlfriend who is very similar to Sophia's story without the whole like amazing female founder aspect of it. But I was at a girlfriend's, one of my best friend's birthday party. And we were sitting at a table and a few of her friends were there who I wasn't super close with, but you know, they were mutual friends. And her friends started talking about how she was in therapy and what she was talking about in therapy. And I instantly was like zeroed in on her. I was like, I want to be that girl's friend. Because to open up and make yourself that vulnerable in a social setting, to me, I was like, that's a real person, right? Who's talking about real things. And that's the funny thing, is we think like, oh, we had a shared experience when we were in college because we had the same classes and the same teachers and we're going to the same football game. We have a shared experience in that we're all going through shit in life. You know what I mean? Whether it be trying to advance your career or dealing with a breakup or dealing with, you know, depression and anxiety. So, I mean, we're all dealing with things that you would be surprised that everybody else is also dealing with. And so I think when you see somebody be vulnerable, that's when you're like, hey, can we hang out? Like I literally just said, I asked my friend, I was like, can I have her number? And then we went to dinner the next week. And it was like very aggressive, but now she's one of my best friends in the entire world. And I think from that experience, I have learned, like, why can't I be that girl? So maybe you go to your teacher friends and you're talking, you know, I obviously now it's superficial, but maybe you talk to them and you're the one who breaks that boundary and talks to them about something that's a little vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's not superficial. Do you think you'd be comfortable doing that? Is that the kind of in the environment that you're in?
Yeah, I think so. I can totally imagine myself opening up to some of my colleagues because I kind of grew close to them. And I totally agree with the vulnerability point that that Sophia said. And also what you mentioned before, that we really have to take the time and make the effort because you have to take a lot of time to get to know each other. Because you can only call someone a friend if you've known them for a little bit longer than just, I don't know, if you meet up once in a while. Mm-hmm. And because then you will never get that deep connection that we're looking for in a deep friendship.
I think it I was going to say, I think it definitely takes prioritization. And Sophia, you can like sort of tune in if you agree. Like, setting aside in my calendar, I write down every week, like, make sure I'm spending time with my girlfriends and putting that in my calendar as so almost a to-do so that I make sure that I'm prioritizing that throughout my day and throughout my week. Would you agree?
But I also
Sophia?
Think if, 100%. I mean, we had that calendar invite on like Monday wine nights, and that was there for a while, and eventually we had to break off, but our friendship is still closer than ever. But like, what I will say is that another way I think to think about this is if you're looking for more fresh friends, like maybe you're like, yes, I have my colleagues at school and they're great, but I want to meet new people. Mm-hmm. Jumping into like, I don't know what your interests are, but finding organizations and hobbies and people that like have similar interests in you and jumping into those environments. I don't know if there's a nonprofit that you want to, you know, maybe volunteer for, or there's a local like ceramics class that maybe you want to go to. It could be anything, a cycling class, right? But I think it's easier to connect with people around an organization or around a hobby sometimes. And I've actually met a lot of my close friends doing that as well. So I don't think it needs to be, hey, I'm at a bar and I want to meet someone. I'm at a coffee shop and I want to meet someone. You can do it while, you know, you can effectively make friends everywhere you go, I think. I know that's like a really big statement, but you may walk into your workout class and meet someone there. And I think it's just about opening up and saying like, hey, like, I noticed that you come here every week. Like, I'd love to, you know, do you want to be workout buddies and like keep each other accountable, for example? Or like, you may work at an organization, a nonprofit. And I think another thing that brings people very close together is projects, right? Like, you know, if, let's say the organization is creating an event. Like, let's say you want to go feed like those in need. That organizational skill and bringing projects together with someone else can bring you closer. So I'd say like, you don't have to only focus on the people that are in your career, like, or in your industry, you can go elsewhere and find those people.
Totally. And I think like, it literally, like Sophia said, it could be anything. I have my girl gang from the dog park. Like, just the same girls who go to the dog park at the same time. We have a common interest that are our puppies. And we just become friends. We text all the time. Do you have a hobby that you think that maybe you could sort of start to branch out within and meet new people?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that Sophia mentioned the ceramics course because that's actually something I'd be interested in.
Perfect.
So, yeah, great. I might try out this. And also, I have dogs myself. So
there you go. You could go to a ceramics class for dogs.
For dogs. That would be perfect.
Get super niche there. You'll find your best friend ever.
Yeah.
I brought up ceramics because it's something that I'm really interested in. And I've walked by many studios in LA and I'm like, that's so fun. Like, people are out until 11 PM, you know, making bowls and cups. And it seems really like, you know, a very focused thing, but like a focused almost experience where you have to pay attention to this thing that you're building. But also I've noticed that, you know, people are going on dates there, they're taking their girlfriend there. So I wonder if it's as simple as saying to one of your colleagues, hey, like, let's go to a ceramics class together. And what do you think about inviting someone that I don't know, and I'll invite someone that you don't know, and just start there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea, like to connect other people as well and bring them together, and maybe then a totally new group of friends will,
your girl gang.
Will start. Yes, a new girl gang.
Exactly. Because the thing is, like, this is such a common experience, and everybody feels this way. So I think we forget sometimes, because we're so in our heads, you know, that we forget that everybody wants to meet new people. Like, everybody wants friends. Everybody wants connection.
Yes.
Everybody wants community. Everybody wants that girl gang. So it's sometimes really flippin' scary to be the one who's like, hey, like, do you want to go to ceramics with me? Do you want to make our dogs make vases together? It's a scary step, but nobody in there, like, have you ever, as someone, when a girl has asked you to hang out, you're never like, ugh, like, no, you know, you're always like excited, because people like to be liked. People like community. People like that sort. People like friendship.
That's
part
true.
Of the human experience. So it's really just about taking that first step. I am so excited for you to take that first step. You're going to have to keep us updated. And I know a lot of listeners too are hopefully taking notes and going to do the same thing in their communities, because I know that making friends as an adult, when you have so many other things going on, may seem like it's too much to handle. But when you work on cultivating the right community, you live better and you live happier. I am so excited for the community and the girl gang that you are going to build, Nadine. And I'm so grateful for you being here. Thank you, Nadine, for opening up and being vulnerable. You're part of our girl gang now. Can we just decide that right now, that we have a girl gang, the three of us?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. And thank you, Sophia, for helping us learn how to grow our tribes. You can follow Sophia at Sophia Parsa and at Mountain Gate to see her community building in action. And if you have a question and you want to be featured on the next episode of Too Much to Handle, please send me a DM to at Hannah Cranston, or email tmthshow@gmail.com. Again, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up, because it's gonna be too much to handle.